is a ForceCast Microcast.
Size matters not.
Brought to you by TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
You may fire when ready.
Star Wars Cantina.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
And we're joined now in the cantina with two Star Wars veterans and also founders of Red 5 Comics, Scott Chitwood and Paul Enns. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having us be here. I appreciate it.
Scott, if we could start with you, go ahead and kind of give us your background and how you fit into the Star Wars universe, because I'm sure a lot of people will have recognized the name just from being around all the Star Wars conventions and the Force.net and everything else. So kind of just give us a background on where your Star Wars interests have been.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a longtime fan. You know, I grew up with the movies. I was a kid when the first film came out, and of course, a Star Wars junkie like all your listeners. And then, you know, after Return of the Jedi came out, things kind of went into carbon freeze there for a while. And back in college, I remember I went to Texas A&M, and I was walking past a bookstore, and I saw the Heir to the Empire book by Timothy Zahn. I think you guys talked to him recently.
We did.
And I picked it up, and then that just kind of reignited my love of Star Wars. And that led us into the prequels. And it was about that time I was rooming with a guy named Darren Smith. And he and I attended a convention at Texas A&M called AggieCon. And it happened to be the convention where the first Lucasfilm presentation on the special editions took place.
Oh.
And it was actually Steve Sansweet's first job after he was brought on board to Lucasfilm. He was one of the first fans hired on by Lucasfilm.
Right.
So he was thrown into the middle of it. Howard Roffman actually got up and did the first presentation on the special editions. And this was the first time Lucasfilm had done a presentation in years. And, you know, there was a lot of people didn't know anything about the special editions, but we were there and listened to it, got all the scoop on that and the Shadows of the Empire when it was in its infancy. And so we went back and got online in the Star Wars forums, and, you know, people were still out there saying all sorts of bizarre rumors about the special editions, and, you know, it was our opportunity to be know-it-alls and get out there and say everything we saw. And this was like great new Star Wars stuff to people. So
right.
That was our inspiration for going and doing a Star Wars website. We started the Star Wars page at Texas A&M on the aerospace servers there at the university, putting our computer fees to good use, of course. The aerospace department didn't know it was there, but it was there. So we ran that for about a year, and then realized that if we teamed up with some other webmasters in the online community, we could do something really cool. And that's where the Force.net started. And that is where I met up with Paul. And I'll add to the story, Harry Knowles was at that AggieCon the same time we were. And he went back to Austin, got online and started talking about the special editions, and that prompted him to start Ain't It Cool News. So two of the biggest pains in the butt for Lucasfilm started at the same convention. So I guess they're very happy they did that.
Right. Well, you know, for the fans, that's like almost the birthday, you would think about it, as because those are two huge sources of information, especially when it comes to Star Wars. You know, The Force.net obviously is always all over everything, and Ain't It Cool News has broken a lot of information over the years. So,
it was a matter of all the stars aligning at once. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, that's awesome. And Paul, can you tell us a little bit about where your interest started?
Well, right around the same time, right around the I was pretty active on the Usenet community way back in the Rathlin days, and really into Star Wars. As soon as this whole internet thing was kicking off, I realized that, hey, there's lots of us people who are still interested in Star Wars. So it was a great way to connect, and this was before the web even existed. Unfortunately, I'm on record in 1994 saying that web thing wasn't really going to go anywhere. I mean, it gets thrown in my face a lot these days. But
I'm sure.
Anyways, so
I have to look that one up.
I really was one of the things I was gravitating towards. Of course, Dark Empire was coming out at the time, and a bunch of the comics in Dark Horse. And people weren't talking about them online as much as, like, the novels were by Zahn were going great guns, but, you know, I thought there was some great work being done by Dark Horse. So I started a regular online segment on Usenet called End Views, which was just the obsessive-compulsive reviews of each comic a few hours after I would get my hands on them. And that's how Scott and I actually connected. Scott saw me there and invited me to do some comics reporting for the ForceNet. And then, like a bad rash or something, as soon as, you know, you invite me in somewhere, I kind of start spreading out and sort of started...
He was the one willing to do all the grunt, the dirty work, right. Like the server maintenance and everything.
All the things nobody else wanted to do.
Right. So I actually had a background of, I've been self-employed since I was 17 and ran a number of businesses and as an engineer and some of that kind of thing. So yeah, I definitely started taking over some of the business and technical aspects and reporting and all that kind of good stuff. So the ForceNet back in those days were Scott and I doing a lot of that heavy lifting along with some great team members. But so that's sort of my genesis. And then I think I kind of broke out more into sort of more to public eye in 99. Scott and I were in, sorry, can I say we were in town for San Francisco? Anyway, we were starting.
We were in San Francisco for to kick off IGN Film Force. Well, we were pitching it to IGN.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there in town, and we knew somebody at Skywalker Ranch, and we said, hey, you know, was it possible if we could get a tour? And they invited us. The next thing we knew, we contacted the web team at StarWars.com, and they invited us for lunch and everything. And then there we were on our way to Skywalker Ranch.
Which I later heard was a huge controversy on the ranch, Scott. That,
oh, really? I didn't hear about that.
The fact that anyone from the ForceNet was going to be there, and that's partially why so many people were there with us. It was like, keep these boys tightly controlled.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So... A bunch of us ForceNet guys all together on the ranch, and we had a great chance to have lunch with some of the key people there. And I don't know, some of the guys were kind of geeked out, but I decided this was right after episode one had come out, and I kind of decided, well, I'm never coming back to the ranch again. So I'm going to let these guys know what I think they did wrong with episode one marketing, not with the movie or anything like that. But so I kind of monopolized a bunch of the conversation going on and on about things that I thought StarWars.com should be doing differently. And, little did I know that Mark Hedlund, who had been running StarWars.com, had actually resigned and was leaving.
Yeah.
So
I remember when we were talking, I said, you guys should hire Paul, just kind of jokingly, and they all kind of raised their eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, I've got a phone call, and I'm moving my family down from Canada down to San Francisco to work for Lucasfilms.
Oh, amazing.
Well, it was that night after we went back to the hotel. You had a message. We hadn't even gotten back yet, and you already had a message from Lucasfilm asking you to come back.
Yep.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah. But before we left Skywalker Ranch, we had this secretary who was getting ready to leave Lucasfilm, and she didn't really want to show us around. She just kind of let us go, and next thing we know, we were walking around Skywalker Ranch unsupervised.
Oh.
I don't know if you ever told them that, Paul, but we behaved ourselves.
Well, that's good that you didn't spoil it for anybody else. So while you're walking around, you know, it's so interesting because so many of the people that we've talked to who end up working in Star Wars or especially for Lucasfilm at some point just kind of were in the right spot at the right time. And it's always that kind of genesis of everything coming together at the perfect time to allow that to happen. And it's just amazing because it's always more and more stories like that. And it gets everybody, I think, excited because there's the possibility that, hey, maybe someday I could end up there myself.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. I mean, Paul's definitely paved the way for, fans to go from the online world to actually working at Lucasfilm and working in Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now take us back a little bit. I do want to kind of hit this a little bit. You guys were at TFN as The Phantom Menace was starting. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. What was that like? What was it like to be around with and kind of getting the inside scoop and just all the information that was coming down and the excitement there?
Oh, it was like being at the center of a hurricane, you know. It seemed like, you know, we were getting a lot of stuff. There was a lot of good Star Wars sites out there at the time, but a lot of the spy information and this and that was coming to us. And it was always interesting to get on your email each morning and see what would pop in. I will say, though, that the morning I got in and opened up an audio file, and it was the first time I think anybody outside of Lucasfilm had heard Jar Jar's voice. That was quite a surreal experience.
He's embarrassing.
Like, I thought somebody was pulling a joke on me.
Oh,
and
no.
Then the more we looked into it, the more we realized it was real. But, that was quite an experience. And that was quite a smackdown we got from Lucasfilm, too. That was probably the nicest they were ever to us when they politely asked us to take it down.
But, right. I can understand that. And little did you know at the time that you were part of film history with Jar Jar Binks. And,
yeah, there you go.
good or bad.
I'll also remember, I was in a chat room and Harry Knowles was in there. And he would get stuff before us. It was kind of a game to see who would get stuff first. And
sure.
He said, I've got a character named Jar Jar. And I'm, yeah, right. Who's a sidekick? Cup Cup, Bowl Bowl. So he got me on that one. But we were neck and neck, I think, as far as spoilers went.
I was going to say, in 97, when Kevin Rubio decided that he wanted to put troops on the internet, that was the other, I think, watershed moment for TFN. No one had put video on the internet really at that point, other than like major players.
Mm-hmm.
So we hardly knew what we were doing. We had no concept at the time of how much bandwidth all this stuff was going to take. But I knew enough about QuickTime and a lot of that stuff that I figured it's got to be possible. And all of a sudden, just overnight, we were just flooded, and that just catapulted us. Hey, technologically, and then beyond the Star Wars fans, that kind of catapulted TFN into the more of a mainstay. So,
that's true. Yeah. We were dealing with all those bandwidth issues and our ISP shutting us down. I don't know how many ISPs we went through trying to host Troops, but it was a lot.
Yeah.
I'll bet it was. And Troops was the very first fan film to show up on the internet. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this was 97. I mean, the trailer hadn't come out for Phantom Menace yet. I mean, most people think about the Phantom Menace as like a huge, huge deal when that trailer came out. The Victoria's Secret thing hadn't happened yet. I mean, we were cutting some new ground.
Absolutely.
And I'll never forget. I mean, we had been talking with Kevin Rubio about hosting Troops. And one day, I was actually in Austin, and I was over at the house of one of the Ain't It Cool News guys. And we were watching the Sci-Fi Channel, and we knew they were going to show a little bit of Troops. And then they showed it, and at the end of the segment, they said, you can find it at theforce.net. And we just went, what? We didn't have the video. We weren't prepared. We had nothing ready. So we were scrambling real quick to try to get it up. And then, bam, we were hammered after that, and the media storm took place. It was weird to go from relative obscurity to talking to CNN and USA Today and all that.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Moving forward, you guys have gone on to some other really interesting projects, and we'll hold off on Red 5 for just a moment, but can you talk a little bit about IGN Film Force and ComingSoon.net and SuperheroHype.com and some of the other things that you guys have been involved in?
Sure, yeah. Well, Paul, you want to talk about Film Force?
Sure. We started to have quite a business going. Well, not really a business, but we started to have a whole team of people who were working really well together on something that we loved, and we thought, well, wouldn't we all love to quit our jobs and do something like this? But, Star Wars wasn't, we couldn't do that in the Star Wars realm, but we all thought, hey, why can't we apply all the same skills and passions we have to other movies? Because we all love lots of movies.
Sure.
So IGN at the time was interested in owning the rights to host the Force Net and some of that kind of stuff. So we were basically had the idea to pitch to them, what if we did not only the Force Net, but also a sister site called Film Force? And I kind of got preempted from continuing in that because Lucasfilm snatched me right in the middle of our negotiations. So
that's
then
right.
Scott and I kind of went 7 years of a separate way, so I'll let Scott fill in on his path of that.
Yeah, I worked on Film Force for a while, and the IGN folks were really great. I mean, we had a good TFN team there. The IGN folks were just really supportive, and I wanted to go out and do something on my own. So I ended up teaming with Josh Griffin, the other Force.net bigwig there. And we started Movie Headlines. And, that was as Revenge of the Sith was getting closer, and it became more and more difficult for just the two of us to run that website correctly.
Sure.
correctly right. just by ourselves. So I come to find out that Mirko Parlefleet, he's the guy, he's the editor of Coming Soon and Superhero Hype. I found out he went to Texas A&M along with me. He lived literally around the corner from me and in Houston, and he was open to having me work on the site with him. So we merged the movie headline site that we had been working on with Coming Soon, and the rest is history. I've been doing movie reviews with Coming Soon and got to travel to some sets of some movies and stuff. I went down to Sydney for Superman Returns, got to visit the Fox Studios Australia lot, which was pretty cool. I recognized all the stuff from the diaries on StarWars.com. Paul, you were down there for some time too, so
right.
I went to Prague for Hellboy. So it's been a lot of fun working on Coming Soon and Superhero Hype. The studios treat you very differently than a Star Wars fanboy, you know, with Lucasfilm.
Right.
But it's a whole different ball game there.
Do you find that they want that hype to come along with it, so that they're feeding you things and really kind of catering to you a little bit on that stuff?
Lucasfilm wants to be in control of Star Wars, and understandably
sure.
so.
Right.
You know, and that's completely right. The movie studios, well, I mean, Lucasfilm is maintaining a franchise for years and years, so they want control over how it's done.
Right.
The studios, you know, they do a movie, they film it, it comes out, and then it's gone on DVD for the rest of the flight. So they want people to talk about it as much as possible.
Sure.
So, I mean, you know, they don't want spoilers just like Lucasfilm, but they, at the same time, they really want people to talk about films, you know, their films as much as possible.
So. Right, and any help they can get generating that buzz is good fodder for them.
That's right, that's right. Now, that's not to say Lucasfilm doesn't work well with fan sites. I mean, when Lucasfilm wants to work with you, they do a fantastic job. I mean, you know, Lynn Hale and those folks bent over backwards to help me when, like, the Magic of the Myth tour came to Houston. I got to talk to everybody for interviews on theforce.net. So
they've been great to us, and obviously we've just been going at this for a few months, and they've really made themselves available to us as well. So
right.
being secretive is one thing, but they've always been available. So I have no
That's
complaints
right.
there. They've been great. So you've got all this stuff going. What brought you to Red 5 Comics?
Paul, you want to start?
I can go ahead and tell the tale, starting, I guess, with the ranch. You're visiting
What's
me
that?
Down in San Fran.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Coming Soon was invited out to Skywalker Ranch for the rollout of the Revenge of the Sith DVD. And while I was out there, I took my family along with me. And, you know, I contacted Paul to see if he wanted to go out to dinner, and him and his wife came along. And so we were sitting there just chatting and everything, and then I mentioned that, yeah, I was interested in doing a comic website or a comic book company one day. And it was like a light bulb went off over Paul's head. He's like, yeah, well, that's what I'm interested in doing too. And we got to chatting and come to realize, you know, we both really had a passion for comics. It was something we both wanted to do. We both had stories we wanted to tell, people we wanted to work with. And we had all these great resources that we built up over the years by, you know, being associated with Star Wars. We know all these great writers, great artists, and you know, we know how to promote stuff on the web. So it was just a perfect fit. And then we have all the contacts that we've made through Coming Soon and Superhero Hype. You know,
mm-hmm.
writers like Mark Miller, some of the other big names in the comic industry, were fans of Superhero Hype, and we, you know, they've been in touch with us in the past. So, you know, we've had access to all this great stuff to put together a great comic company. Just it was the perfect fit at the right time. Paul, I don't know, where do you want to go from here?
I've spent a great 7 years at Lucasfilm, and grew Lucas Online from where it didn't even exist as a division. It was just a handful of folks randomly scattered around to, you know, finally I got to be in charge of it as an actual, making a full-fledged division of the company, and it's really thriving. But it kind of got to the point where the movies were done, and I'd agreed with my wife that we would, maybe spend 6 or 7 years in California. We assumed Lucasfilm was going to fire everybody at that point. They didn't realize we were all going to keep having jobs and the animated series and cool things like that. But,
right.
But then, no, it just kind of got to the point for me where I was looking to take a lot of the skills that I was able to, you know, to be blessed to learn there and apply them to something of my own again. So that, you know, self-employed itch came back, and Red 5 Comics seemed like one of the one of the greatest ideas we'd had and something I was really passionate about. So this is where we're at.
And fortunately, you didn't burn any bridges when you left Lucasfilm. It was all happy.
So far, it's been great, and we're in regular touch with. I'm in regular touch with those guys almost every day. So,
oh, that's great. And we have to make sure we mention it. Where did the name Red 5 Comics come from?
Huh. Well, I think it's a communist connotation. I don't know, Paul. You want to field that one?
Well, we thought about, you know, blue eights and things, but, you know, just colors and numbers are our favorite. That's all we have to say about that.
Yes, well, I think that explains
he learned
fully.
He learned how to be dodgy at Lucasfilm, too.
Yes, well, that is a very underrated talent.
Well, listen, we get two questions. One is, where'd you come up with the name? And the other one is, are you going to get sued? And that always lets us. That always lets me know the level of geek that I'm talking to. And we enjoy both questions.
Yeah, right. Well, and here's hoping that neither of them ever plays out to anything more than what they are. So kind of give us a background on what you guys are going to tackle with this. I mean, are you going for a full-fledged kind of just up-and-coming comic book artists, or are you looking to get some established stuff, or where's your passion with that?
We've been having a mix. I mean, we're using Star Wars artists that we've worked with in the past, like Tom Hodges. You know, he's doing a title called Midnight with us. Mm-hmm. And then there's we're obviously using Lucas Maranjan. I've never said his name out loud. How do you say his last name, Paul?
I don't know. I hate to say it. Lucas Maranjan and Kevin Rubio.
You know, they teamed up on Tag and Bink, the Tag and Bink series for Dark Horse, and we've reteamed them on a title called The Abyss. So we're using Star Wars veterans for art there, but we're also going out and getting folks that you may have never seen before, like Wayne Nichols. I mean, he's done a Hellboy title and some other stuff, and Jay Corim is drawing Neozoic for us, and he's done some professional work, but you may not have seen his work before, so we've got a mix of established talents as well as newcomers that do fantastic work that you may not have seen before.
That's it. Everyone on our team has done comics before except for Scott.
That's me. I'm the newbie of the bunch.
Well, and
that's true.
But I'd have to say the experience so far lends itself to what you guys are doing. So
absolutely. No, I'd like to rub it in every now and again.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, making sure you keep the edge on.
Yeah, that's why I wanted him to co-write with me. You know, it's one thing to review movies and comics and books for years and years. It's a whole other ball game to try to write one, and fortunately Paul's been a check for me on that. I mean, he and I have, I think, completely opposite taste on comics. I mean, you know, I'm a Marvel fanboy. I love the action adventure, and he's into some of I don't know how you would describe your taste.
Well, I'm a DC and independence guy, so you
that's
know,
right
DC,
that's right
opposite. We're not.
When we get together, when we're actually agreeing on what's going on, I think we're on to something special, you know, where we can meet in the middle. We're getting great stuff back from Lucas. I mean, it's looking really cool. That's Kevin Rubio's title, The Abyss.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comic book action-adventure comedy. The way Kevin pitched it to me was, he said it was Spider-Man meets My Name is Earl. It's more Batman meets My Name is Earl. It's about this a teenager who discovers that his father is the world's most notorious supervillain. So now he's trying to go back and make amends for all the wrongs his father has done. But things go wrong along the way. So it's really funny, and we're really enjoying reading the stuff and getting the art in. It's pretty cool.
So when are we going to expect to see titles released?
We're shooting for the fall, and everything is on track for that to happen at the moment. Paul, do you want to elaborate more?
All I want to say is we're really passionate about, I mean, one of the big complaints for a lot of readers and a lot of retailers is, you know, you're late on when you promised. And we're so early in the game, we really just don't want to give out dates at this point.
Sure.
Because there's several things between now and then that are completely out of our control. The book could be ready tomorrow, and there's still factors with distributors and that kind of thing. So until we get that nailed down, we're just saying fall.
Right.
Yeah,
well, and that's always safe, and you know, it gives somebody who's looking forward to this at least something to look forward to in general. That, you know, there's no specific dates that you have to count on, and you can just go keep looking for your emails and hoping that you get some information. So.
We're looking for August or September, but you know, obviously, if someone can check out red5comics.com, we've got a pretty active blog going there, so we're definitely going to be sharing the dates on our newsletter and on the blog. So
absolutely. Well, and gentlemen, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us for a little bit, and I'd love to, if you guys have a chance, come back onto the show once we get a little closer to some of the release dates and kind of just give us a quick preview on some of the titles, and maybe we can have on some of the writers, other writers and artists as well, just to kind of get things rolling for what's going to be an awesome release for all these excellent titles.
And I'll give you a little tease here. We're in talks with some Star Wars novelists about writing some titles for us.
Oh, excellent.
So, as we get things signed on the dotted line, you'll be the first to hear about it.
That would be awesome. we would appreciate it. And the nice thing about it is that we're looking at all these Star Wars veterans, and we all know their work, and we all know what to expect from them. So adding even more to that would be awesome. So we're definitely excited to hear that. So at this point, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. And
should we say may the force.net be with you, or Red 5 Comics standing by?
you can do either if you'd like.
I think I just did it. And we you know, you've been doing a fantastic job on the podcast. I know, I mean, having worked on the force.net firsthand, I know a lot of guys, you're just, you know, you come with a great idea, you say, hey, I want to do this, and they just say, yeah, great, go ahead and do it.
So,
I know you're running the show, you and your partner are running the show by yourselves, and you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, I really appreciate it, and definitely we'll be speaking with you soon.
All right, thank
you. Great.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.